China is building a moon base. As we speak, work is already well underway to create the first permanent outpost on the moon. It begins with robots, and we've already seen plenty of Chinese robots up there, but this is only phase one of a much bigger plan that will see people living on the surface of the moon, and below it as well. There are problems, though. The moon is not an easy place to do anything. Even just landing there safely is still proving to be a challenge. The biggest obstacles revolve around the environment of the moon. For one, it doesn't have an atmosphere, which means that there's no air, but it also means that there is no insulation between the surface of the moon and the sun. So when the sun is up, the moon gets incredibly hot, over 120 degrees Celsius. And when the sun sets, the temperature drops down below negative 130 Celsius. Because the moon rotates much more slowly than the Earth, what you end up with is 14 days of sunlight followed by 14 days of night. Then there are new challenges on the moon that are less familiar to us, like cosmic radiation. That's what you get when you go beyond the protective shield of the Earth. Our planet has a magnetic field that's created by all of the flowing hot metal inside the core of the Earth. The moon doesn't have a magnet at its core, so all of that radiation ends up bombarding the surface, which means that if we're going to live there, then we need to put an effective barrier between us and the deadly rays of the sun. And unfortunately, a metal wall is not going to do the job. Then there are meteorites. What do you see when you look at the surface of the moon? Craters. What made those craters? Rocks. And this is an ongoing process. The moon gets pummeled by rocks from space on a regular basis. So does the Earth, but we have an atmosphere that's able to create enough friction to burn those rocks into dust before they ever reach the surface. Again, no atmosphere on the moon. So trying to keep anything alive on the moon is going to be a pretty difficult task. And yes, American astronauts have lived on the moon many years ago, but that was only for like 3 days at a time. What we are aiming for in the 21st century is long-term habitation that eventually leads to a permanent presence on the lunar surface. But this is something that China has already started practicing. For example, the Chang'e 4 landing in 2019 carried with it a small, sealed biosphere experiment called the Lunar Microecosystem. It was a container filled with seeds for plants like cotton and potato, along with fruit fly eggs and yeast. The idea was to try to keep these things alive by supplying them with air, water, and nutrients, then see how they fared in the low gravity and high radiation environment of the moon. At first, it looked like some of the seeds had fared pretty well. The cotton plants actually sprouted and became the first new leaves to grow on the moon. But even that new life was short-lived. Chinese scientists reported that within just a few days, extreme temperature swings had killed everything inside the experiment. So that just helps to prove how inhospitable the lunar environment really is. And that's why China has been investing a lot of their time and resources into using robots on the moon that will set the stage for people to eventually arrive. We can think of this like a three-part plan for China's moon base. Phase one is reconnaissance, phase two is construction, and phase three is habitation. We are currently about halfway through phase one. That's what the Chang'e lander missions have been all about. Sound completely changes how space feels. The right score can make a lonely planet feel alive or turn a quiet orbit into something emotional. And for a new 3D cinematic sequence we're building, I've been creating the entire soundtrack using a tool called Suno. Suno is an AI music creator, but not the replace musicians kind of way people worry about. Think of it like any great creative software. The same way editors use Premiere or artists use Photoshop, Suno gives you tools to shape your own sound. It helps you experiment with tone, texture, pacing, and mood without taking away the creative decisions. For this sequence, I started with a simple prompt: orchestral sci-fi with ambient synths. In seconds, Suno generated a few variations that actually felt honest and emotional. From there, I pulled stems apart, rearranged sections, and matched everything to the timing of the visuals, just like working in a real studio. And since today's video is sponsored by Suno, this is the perfect time to try it for yourself. Suno lets you turn your ideas into real studio quality songs, and during Black Friday, they are offering 40% off annual plans and 20% off 1 month. Whether you need custom music for your content or you just want to experiment and make something fun, you can try it at the link below. It's become one of the fastest, most enjoyable parts of my workflow, and everything you make comes with full commercial rights. So check out Suno at the link in the description, and when that 3D sequence drops, every note you hear will be something we crafted ourselves with Suno's help. Now let's take a look at what Phase 2 is all about. There are a few ways to construct a moon base. The most obvious solution would probably be just build it on Earth, then launch it into space and land it on the moon. Simple in theory, but also incredibly difficult, risky, and resource intensive. A second option would be to use resources from the moon in your construction process. We call that in situ resource utilization, and that's what China is focusing their efforts on right now. A future mission called Chang'e 8, which is expected to launch in 2028, will carry an experiment that hopes to turn the lunar soil into bricks. This is how that construction process would look on the moon. An autonomous robot would collect lunar soil and pack it into containers that act as a mold for the brick. Then the containers are placed in an oven where they get cooked at high temperature to create these different shapes like rectangles, cubes, and arches. Then another autonomous robot works to stack the bricks and apply mortar into the joints to create low-lying structures. The same bricks can also be laid in the ground to make new infrastructure like roads and landing pads. Those thick stone blocks are going to provide incredible protection from things like radiation and meteorite impacts. They are also going to make fantastic insulators against the wild temperature swings from day to night. But there are downsides as well. The brick house is not very suitable for holding internal pressure. Since the moon has no atmosphere, we need to create our own pressurized environment inside the habitat. The rectangular shape with its hard edges doesn't have enough natural strength to contain the atmosphere. Think about common items like propane tanks and water towers. They are always round, so we would need something like that inside the brick structure to make a real habitat. So that's a traditional construction method using lunar soil, but the Chinese are also working on a more futuristic idea as well. This is a 3D printed habitat called the Moon Pot Vessel. It eliminates the need for bricklaying, but it does come with some extra complications. You can't turn lunar soil directly into a 3D printable material. It has to be mixed with an adhesive first, and that adhesive needs to be shipped from the Earth. So it's not entirely self-sufficient, but the design of the Moon Pot has its advantages. Before they begin 3D printing, the autonomous machines would lay down a thick slab of concrete-like material made from lunar soil. This is going to provide a solid foundation for the moon pot, and it's going to help absorb vibration from any potential earthquakes on the moon. Those happen frequently. Then to create the pot, they heat soil to its melting point. They mix it with the adhesive that will hold everything together once it's solidified, and then the printing head simply moves around in circles to lay down the mixture. The shape is designed to mimic the natural strength of the eggshell, and it uses three layers of material: an outer shell, an inner shell, and this triangular rib structure in the middle that provides core strength. So you can pressurize this habitat without any need for internal lining. And the multi-layered approach is still going to provide a very effective barrier and insulation against the hazards of the moon. 3D printing also makes it easier to build taller structures, which actually makes a lot of sense on the moon. The low gravity allows people to easily move up and down ladders, and the lack of atmosphere means that wind and weather is never a concern. Now, these construction plans are ambitious, but they're also very practical, assuming that the Chinese can solve one very big problem: energy. Whether it's cooking soil to make bricks, or 3D printing, or even just keeping the lights on, a moon base is going to need power. And for this, China wants to go nuclear. In 2025, the Chinese and Russian governments announced a new partnership to build a nuclear power plant on the moon. This should come as no surprise. The Russians have always wanted to play a major role in the Chinese moon base, but it wasn't clear how much they were actually able to contribute. For example, in 2023, the Russian Space Agency sent their own Luna 25 spacecraft to land on the moon and contribute to the reconnaissance phase alongside the Chang'e missions. Instead, Russia's probe lost control and crashed into the surface. They haven't tried again. But one thing that Russia definitely can do is build nuclear power plants. The state-owned company Rosatom is number one in the global market for manufacturing nuclear reactors and enriched uranium. They not only make nuclear infrastructure for Russia, but they also export reactors to other nations like Belarus, Bangladesh, Turkey, and Egypt. They even built a floating nuclear power plant in the Arctic Ocean off the coast of Siberia. So a power plant on the moon doesn't actually sound like that much of a stretch. And in many ways, the moon is actually a better place for nuclear energy. For example, cooling the reactor can be done simply by keeping it out of the sun. We know that the moon gets incredibly cold at night, but the same also goes for any place that's shaded from the sunlight, like inside the rim of a deep crater. So you can build your power plant there and never worry about overheating. Then there's nuclear waste, a big problem on the Earth, but since the moon is already saturated with cosmic radiation from the sun, you really can't make that environment any worse than it already is. Now, if this first construction project on the surface of the moon works out as planned, then China already has ambitions for an even bigger and better lunar colony. They are going underground. We know that the Chinese are very interested in exploring lava tubes on the moon. These are actually giant networks of underground tunnels that were cut into the surface by ancient volcanic activity. We know that they exist because we've seen locations on the moon where the roof of the tube has collapsed, leaving behind a round opening that reveals a hollow cave underneath. These caves provide natural protection from meteor strikes and cosmic radiation. They also insulate from the wild temperature swings on the surface caused by the lunar day and night cycle. So it's actually a pretty perfect spot to build a moon base. And naturally, China already has a plan to investigate this as part of their robot exploration phase. The Chang'e 7 mission, launching in 2026, is going to be equipped with a ground-penetrating radar that will map the lunar subsurface at the moon's south pole and find any potential underground caves and lava tubes. Now, we know what the robot reconnaissance phase looks like right now, and we know about some of the things that China wants to build in the future, so how do we get there from here? Well, China's moon base will begin construction in the 2030s. They are targeting a location at the lunar south pole, where we know that the largest amount of in-situ resources are going to be found. At first, this will be a fully autonomous robotic installation. There will be no people involved in building the moon base. They are going to let robots do all of the hard work, and then once everything is up and running and proven to be safe, that is when the crew arrives. China has already scheduled 5 big moon landings between 2031 and 2035, each deploying a component of the future moon base. The first establishes the command center with basic energy and telecommunications facilities. Mission 2 brings lunar research and exploration facilities. Mission 3 is all about in-situ resource utilization technology. Number 4 puts all of that into use with a robotic exploration and experiment mission complete with a distributed sample collection and return. Then, landing number 5 will establish moon-based astronomy and Earth observation capabilities. So that puts Chinese people living on the moon by the end of the next decade. They are going to try and land their first astronauts up there in this decade just to show the world that they can, but they don't seem to be interested in doing repeated short-duration stays like the old Apollo strategy. Now, of course, China isn't the only nation with their eyes on a permanent moon base. America has a big plan of their own, so there will be competition for lunar real estate, and that is what we are going to take a look at next time. So stay tuned.